Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is a reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me if I continue childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 33 responsively. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all humankind.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God fashions all their hearts and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength. Truly your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love. Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely our heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you. The second reading is from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him on the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who spoke in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat. He will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief is coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I find myself sitting with several troubling thoughts as I look at today's readings. And so I'm just going to list them for you as a place to start us out. Patriarchy. Particularly Abram and his issue. And cultural norms that allow only the son of the patriarch to be the heir. As well as cultural norms that accept slavery as normal. No matter how much any of us were taught, it was a different time and a different kind of slavery and all of that, and therefore was somehow acceptable. Cultural norms that dispossess slaves from any inheritance in the estate that they contributed heavily to produce. Cultural norms that assume that childless adults are somehow second class. Those are just the easy ones. Before saying anything else today, it is important to note that, well, that indeed, this is not the world that humanity is striving for at this time. To be sure, some may wish to regress to it, but this church, this congregation, abhors slavery and such inheritance rules and expectations that values procreation above all else. I'm pretty sure that a whole range of sex roles among our members exist, and yet I believe that those sex role patterns within relationships and households are much more egalitarian than the patriarchy that is presumed in Genesis. To be sure, Abram failed. Over and over and over again to trust the promises that he heard from God. Abram, oh my, he acted in ways that threw his wife under the bus in substance. Troubling ways of behaving. That whole thing about representing to Pharaoh that, well, she's my sister, not my wife. That's a problem, don't you think? So much troubling in his journey.
It is important to be careful about hero worship with this guy, even as we recognize that he is held up as a patriarch. Now, in a similar vein, it is true about so many of the other major figures in the Hebrew Bible. There's just not enough time to walk through and rehearse all of those ways that there are difficulties. For many people today, though, the unreserved celebration of the faithfulness of these failed heroes brings way too much hurt. And it can set the stage for people to struggle with their own faith because somehow, well, if these are the heroes and we don't acknowledge their failings, how can any measure up? Perhaps that's the point. The Hebrew Scriptures are so clear about the failings of humanity precisely to assist readers and hearers of every day, of every time, every place, to recognize just how hard it is to be faithful. To be sure, the authors and editors of Genesis offer a vision of God also that seems to represent and affirm those very same cultural biases. Reading Scripture too literally in this setting, or saying, but the point is that God is faithful, without acknowledging the cultural biases of the literature, risks similar damage. And if we move on today to that letter to the Hebrews, the trajectory continues in identifying faithful patriarchs. And of course, the students of the Hebrew Bible know quite well that Isaac and Jacob blew it too. And again, the author reports that in some ways, God becomes complicit in troubling cultural norms. So acknowledging all of that, it's important to point to several core commitments that do keep coming through in our hearing today. Among those, it is God who reckons righteousness, not the work of humanity. And God is faithful. And inheritance is determined not based on the righteous behavior of humanity, but on the faithfulness of God. And so both God to Abram and God to Jesus to his followers at the time, the message is, do not be afraid. As Jesus says, it is God's pleasure to provide a place for you in the reign of God. There is a place where you matter. Those are huge promises. And those promises are so big that most humans struggle to trust them. Certainly Abram struggled to trust them. These promises remind each and every one who is gathered here that they do indeed not depend on human action. The promises depend on God's faithfulness. So as the song says, have no fear, little flock. Trust God. Some of you have heard about my Bible study experience at the nursing home in Albion, Nebraska, where 98-year-old Ruth Ekstrom challenged my assertion that all human beings, at one time or another, in one way or another, worry. She told me she doesn't worry. And as she says, I don't worry, she proceeded to tell me that her mom taught her that worrying is a sin. Now, I was sitting at a table with a whole bunch of people that I was fairly confident had worried at one time or another, and perhaps were worrying at that very moment. And so I thought hard about how to move forward. What I became clear about, though, was that in Jesus saying, you know, have no fear, little flock, I am confident she heard Jesus saying a command, do not be afraid. And beyond that, remember, not only in this scripture, but also in Matthew, where Jesus says, if the grass of the field and the birds of the air are so valuable to the Lord God, are you not at least as valuable? God says you matter. Have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Of course, Jesus follows his promise that the Father desires to give the flock, to give the faithful places in the reign of God with an invitation, but it's stronger than invitation. It's much more like a command. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be ready. Trusting the promises is not an invitation to just sit back. It is a call to action. It is a call to preparation. It is a call to readiness. That means that the faithful are called to practice their faith in a variety of ways. Now, 20 years ago, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America framed those spiritual practices in these terms: worship, prayer, Bible reading or Bible study, caring conversations or fellowship, invitation or evangelizing, generosity and service. As in many things, balance is key. If only worship, what about prayer and Bible reading? If connecting with people who are struggling in their life or in their faith, that caring conversations, what about inviting them to the place where you meet Jesus in word and sacrament? If showing up for service activities, which of course this congregation does really well, how might one also be generous? Well-rounded faith involves all these practices and equips the faithful to be ready for the coming Son of Man. Hear the promise. Trust the promise. Act on the promise. There is a deep yearning in the world for the good news that God desires all people to have a place in the kingdom. There is a hunger for opportunity for authentic, caring community, for relationship. There is among many people a profound desire to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Indeed, have no fear, little flock. And as that song goes on, praise the Lord. Respond to the good news with practices of faith that invite the world into the relationship with Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.